rock.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
God.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God. Serve a mighty God.
Yes, we do.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Genesis tonight. The book of Genesis. Amen. If you look with me. Amen. Genesis 17 is where we'll read to you tonight. Genesis 17. Today in chapel, we had interesting chapel service. Interesting chapel. A couple things that I found out during chapel. One, that girls cannot follow directions. I had two treasure maps drawn out of the sanctuary here with a treasure, an actual treasure. Be found. Gave one to Keon, no problem, man. He whizzed right through it, just, and he took off. Found, followed it, did a great job. Gave one to a couple of girls, younger girls. Boy, they struggled. They struggled. They couldn't find their way. I just, you know, the idea is don't ever let the woman have the map. Don't ever let them use the map, all right? Amen. Well, then I had them all stand after we had got done speaking to them, getting ready to, you know, making this very heartfelt appeal to draw them into the altar, to do a deep dedication to the Lord and consecration to God. You know, everybody was shaking in fear, and, you know, It wasn't quite that powerful. But two ladies walked in. The door was open because of the Swaffords had come in for chapel service, be with us. And so when they had come in, two ladies came in, and they walked. You know, one of them stood by the door, but one of them, she just kept walking right on up. Walked down the side aisle. She walked all the way over here, and I'm kind of, you know, talking about coming to the altar and praying, and she just keeps coming. And she interrupts me. She says, excuse me. She goes, where's the funeral? I knew I wasn't really on top of my game today, but I really didn't think it was that bad. Okay. I really didn't think it was that bad, but maybe it was. But anyway, she's looking for the funeral. She said, told me the name of the lady that she was looking for, the funeral. She says, this is the address that is given. It's supposed to be at Bethel Chapel at 11 o'clock. I looked around. There was a couple sleeping, but I didn't think they was dead. Saw no corpse, no casket. I didn't even look like a funeral director today. You know? So I told her, you better be shoveling off. No. Anyway, I said, no funeral here today. No funeral here. And so she's, you know, she's like really flabbergasted and flustered. This is where it says the funeral's at. There should be a funeral here. You know, I don't know if she really believed this, if she thought we was pulling her leg or what the deal was. She kind of had a looking at her stuff. She marched out. So we tried to recoup, get back down the altar and pray, and got done praying, finished up chapel. I go outside. There's two more people out there sitting in their car. Looking for the funeral. So I go out and talk to them. I said, I'm sorry, guys, but no funeral today. No funeral. I said, I'm sorry, we don't have a funeral. He said, but it says right here, Bethel Chapel, to this address, and it's at 11 o'clock. And I'm like, look around. There's only two cars in the parking lot. They're both yours. You know, there is no funeral going on here. It's obvious. There is no funeral. And they searched around. Finally, you know, they discovered that Irwin Chapel was the funeral home taking care of it. And I told them how to get to Irwin Funeral Home. I'm sure they were late, but I wonder sometimes, you know, there's people that they just say, I go to Bethel Chapel. Bethel Chapel's my church. Bethel Chapel's my church. You know, I didn't know the lady. I didn't know her. I went online, looked it up, had a picture of her and everything on there, but I didn't know her. But just thinking about that just a little bit, you know, I wanted to have more than just a affiliation with church. Don't you? You look in the obituary, and I don't know, I think as people get older, they read the obituary. How many of you read an obituary? Sister April, you read the obituary? You're way too young for that. No. The older you get, I think you start reading those things. And you probably come across people, Brother Slotta, that's probably look at Bethel Chapel. Wow. I don't even know them. I want to have more than just a church affiliation. I want to have a church family, don't you?
Amen.
Isn't it important to have a church family? And yeah, not just say that I'm a member of Bethel Chapel and nobody at Bethel Chapel knows you. Nobody in Bethel Chapel even knows that you're where your funeral's at. You know? I wanna have a church family. And I think that's one of the beauties of serving the Lord. Amen. It's having that family of God. Amen. That you can draw strength from, help from. Amen. Even in the times of sorrow and grief, at least you have that family of God that's there to support you and help you through difficult times and through joyous occasions as well. Amen. You can have a church family, right?
Amen.
It's very important. So it's kind of an interesting chapel service. Kind of interesting. That had a lot of people looking for the funeral, and I'm just glad I didn't illustrate a funeral today. If I would have illustrated a funeral service today, it would have been quite exciting, Logan, wouldn't it? It would have been quite exciting. They wouldn't have believed me. There was a man that was seen in the Blue Mesa Petrified Forest in Arizona. He was spotted just as the sun was going down, just as it was beginning to get dark. They found him there. They noticed him there because he was acting very suspicious. He was acting a little bit different. Okay? They noticed he got out of the car. When he got out of the car, he kind of was looking around and just took his time, you know, just looking over his shoulder and trying to see if he was being observed or anything. And he went around to the back of his car, and he kind of opened his trunk and looked around, make sure nobody was looking as it was getting darker and darker and darker. And so he slowly raised the trunk. And because he was acting so suspicious, somebody observed him and kind of watched him because kind of just a little different, you know. So they noticed that he reached into the trunk, and you could tell he was lifting something that was very heavy out of the trunk. And he took this that was wrapped in a cloth, some kind of a blanket or a cloth or something, and they couldn't tell what it was, and they could tell it was, for an older man, he was struggling to carry this heavy piece that seemed to be kind of large, that it filled up his arms as he carried it, and he kind of, you know, all the time looking over his shoulder as he picked up this item that he was carrying, and he began to walk off the side of the road. He walked down through a ditch and up a incline, and they said the weight of what he was carrying was heavy, and he was struggling with the burden of it as an older man. And how many times do I need to say he's an older man? But he's struggling with the weight of it as he climbs up. Then he goes down through a gully and a dried out creek bed, and And they're kind of keeping their distance as they're watching him, and he's, you know, all the time being very careful and looking around, make sure nobody's observing him. And he goes out a little farther, and there he bends down and he drops this item that he has on the ground. And he begins to unwrap this item, and he lays it on the ground there. He's approached about what he's doing there, what's taking place. When they walk up, they realize that what he had brought out was a piece of petrified wood. You all know what petrified wood is. It's trees that have become like stone, heavy like stone. It was a beautiful piece. It was, you know, all the different colors that were in it was beautiful. It was, you know, a lot of crystal-like looking pieces on it. Said it was a beautiful piece that he had brought back and he had set down there in that particular spot. It seemed like he had intentionally went to that spot. So they begin to question the man. What are you doing? What are you doing? You know, there is a law against removing petrified wood from the petrified forest. You're not supposed to take it out. Some of you have, probably, but you're not supposed to. And so he was returning it back to this forest. But they asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "When I was just a boy, my family was on vacation in Arizona. We were out here in this very place, and me and my brother, unbeknownst to my dad, had wandered off, found this piece of petrified wood, knowing that we were not supposed to take it, knowing that we were not allowed to have it, and without Dad knowing, we snuck it back to the car and hid it in the car and took it all the way back to New York with us." So for all of these years, the guilt that I have carried in my heart for carrying this piece off that I knew I was not supposed to have. His dad eventually had found out about it, but by that time they were far away from Arizona on their way back to New York. He had carried this for all of these years, waiting for an opportunity to get back to Arizona. Now, as an older man, there I said it again, as an older man, he's made his way back to Arizona, and he began to express to them, "You don't know the relief of being able to lay this burden down in almost the exact same place that I picked it up. I have carried this for so long, I'm finally glad to get it back to where it belongs." Can you imagine? I mean, that's, I don't know if we're, how sentimental you are or how easily your conscience might be bothered, but here's a man that felt that he needed to get this back. He felt guilt for what he had done. He felt like he had stolen something. I think probably our problem in our nation is a lot of times is we've lost that, yes, that sensitivity, if you would. Look at the book of Genesis chapter 17. Book of Genesis chapter 17. I want to begin reading verse 15. "And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto me that is 100 years old? Shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year." I want to talk to you, amen, a miracle or a mistake? A miracle or a mistake? See, God had made a promise to Abraham. He promised him that he would be, that his seed would be as the stars. He promised him that his seed would be as the sand He made a great covenant with Abraham, that Abraham, if he would follow after God and honor God, that God was going to bless him, that he was going to make him a great people, that he was going to turn him into a great nation, that all of these great things was going to happen. Well, the problem was Abraham and Sarah had no children, and Sarah was barren, and there was no way that she could have a child, but God had made a covenant with him. God had made this promise to Abraham. And Abraham had entered into that covenant with God. Man, so God is a God of his word. God will keep his promises. God will keep his and honor his word and his promise to you. Man, it don't matter what circumstances may look like. Trust God. Put your confidence in the Lord. Amen, because God will come through. You know the story, how that Abraham, in his time of doubting, Abraham and Sarah both doubting. And Abraham went unto Hagar, and she conceived of a child, and a child was born to Abraham by the name of Ishmael. That was Abraham's mistake. He tried to take things into his own hands. He lost his faith in God. He failed in the fact that he did not trust God. He did not put his faith in the Lord to believe that God could do it, that God could even move upon Sarah, that she could bring forth a child. So he failed God. That was his mistake. That he was his mistake. Abraham began to realize that he had made a mistake. Abraham realized what he had done was wrong. God had made this covenant to him and made this promise to him. So Abraham journeys back to the place of covenant. He journeys back to the place where God had spoke to him the first time. He journeys back to that place where he has met God and had that encounter with God. And there, once again, God forgives Abraham of his mistake. And now God begins to bless him again and once again renews his covenant, renews his promise, renews that covenant with Abraham, that Abraham, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to move on Sarah, and she is going to bring forth a child. And then you know the story, how that Sarah did have a child. God did bless them, and Isaac was born. Isaac was born, and so now you have dwelling in your same house here. You have the mistake, and you have a miracle dwelling in the same house. You have a mistake that Abraham had failed God. He had failed to trust the Lord. He had failed to put his confidence in the Lord, trying to help God out, if you would, and that was a mistake. But yet now here is Isaac in the tent with Ishmael. Amen, and he is the miracle child. He is the miracle of God. It is no other way to describe Isaac in any other term, but he is a miracle. He was a miracle that took place. Amen. And I'm sure that Abraham rejoiced over Isaac. He rejoiced that God would do something so wonderful. He rejoiced that God would forgive him of his mistake and honor him with the miracle. He rejoiced that God would still have mercy on him after a mistake and still work in his life and still make a covenant and fulfill his promise in Abraham and allow a miracle to take place in the home of Abraham. And you know, God works in our life in a very similar way. Because God has made promises to us. God has made promises to us over and over again. Amen. And God, we have found that God has been true to many of his promises. But there are times that we begin to doubt and we begin to question God. We begin to wonder, God, do you know what you're talking about? God, do you really know how you're going to do this? God, are you sure? I believe I can help you out here, God. I believe I can work this all out if you'll just let me help you, God. Let me show you how you can do it. We begin to lose heart. We begin to lose faith. We begin to quit trusting God. And now we begin to take things into our own hand. That is our mistake. That is our mistake. Amen. Have you ever felt like that you had failed God? Did you ever feel like that you had maybe walked away from the Lord? Let God down? Sure. Maybe you had made some mistake in your past that you're ashamed of today. Maybe you don't like, we don't like to talk about mistakes. We don't like to talk about those things that we have done in our past. Amen. But we've all been there. We've all been there. We've all failed God at one time or another. And we had to go and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Lord, I'm sorry. I failed you. I made a mistake. I was wrong. Maybe the mistake is that thing that has embarrassed you so bad. The mistake is the one that hurt your witness among friends and family and coworkers. The mistake. The mistake is the one that caused you begin to go backwards in your walk with God. When once you were close to God, but now, amen, it's made you drift away from God and drift farther away from God because of the mistake. If you're not careful, before long, your mistake rules your entire life. You seem like that mistake, you can't get beyond it. You feel like, you know what? I cannot believe that I was so foolish to fail God. I cannot believe that I was so foolish, amen, that I would let God down. I cannot believe that I would be so ignorant that I would fail God so miserably by allowing myself to fall into this trap and make this mistake. We've all been there. That mistake will begin to ruin your life. Rule your life. Ruin your life. Control your life. Amen. The mistake has a way of, amen, always being around, you know? Always being around the mistake. The mistake, it mocks you. Every time you try to have revival, the mistake mocks you. Every time you try to lift your hands and worship God, the mistake laughs at you. What are you doing? What business do you have trying to worship God? You failed. You made a mistake. Look at you. You're nothing. What do you think you're trying to do? Anytime you try to work for God, the mistake, he just laughs at you. Thinks you think God can use you after the mistake that you have made? Do you really think God can move in your family? You have to offer up a prayer request to God. And the mistake, it laughs at you and it mocks you. Says, you think God's going to hear your prayer? You think God's going to answer any of your prayers? You have made a mistake. Anytime you're working for God, amen, the mistake shows up. Anytime there's a revival, the mistake shows up. Amen, it distracts you. It keeps you occupied on worrying and fretting over the mistake. Amen, the mistake, it hands you defeat when you're trying to get victory. The mistake, it goads you and it pokes you and it laughs at you and it robs you of peace that you should have in your life because I made a mistake. You ever felt like saying, okay, so what? I made a mistake. Now would you leave me alone? Mistake never goes away, does it? Mistake begins to rob you of your peace. Amen. The mistake, he steals all of your spiritual reserves. He zaps you for everything you have spiritually. The mistake, he drags you down. It's like carrying a heavy load on you. The mistake, it's like a burden, like a weight that is hanging upon you. The mistake makes you feel like, you know what, you can no longer live for God. No longer live for God because of a mistake. Abraham, how do you think he felt after he made that mistake? And he walked away from God. The mistake, it just torments you. Torments you. And Abraham, he did what he needed to do. He went back to the place of covenant. He went back to the place where he had encountered God the first time. He went back to the place where he had spoke with God and met with God face to face. So he went back there, and when he got back there, amen, there he dealt with his mistake before God. And there he began to call out to the Lord. Amen, you know what? God, the mistake was still living in the tent. The mistake's still living there. Amen, and God forgave him of the mistake. God forgave him of the mistake. And God said, I'm still going to bless you.
I'm still going to work in your life. I'm still going to make you a great nation. I'm still going to give you children. I'm still going to do all those things that I said that I was going to do. I'm going to honor you, Abraham. I'm going to bless you, Abraham. Oh, but God, I have a mistake. I've made a mistake. But God says, Abraham, I'm still going to bless you. I'm still going to work in your life. Amen. Oh, sometimes the mistake, it rules us and it tries to control us. Man, realize this, God still has a blessing. God will still bless you. And God will still work in your life. Amen, and God will still do some tremendous things for you. Amen, just trust the Lord. Amen. But Abraham left that meeting with God after God had renewed his covenant. And guess what? The mistake was still living with him. The mistake was still living with him. Not long after that, Isaac is born. The miracle. The miracle. This is what he's been waiting for. This is the miracle. This is the miracle. And now there's rejoicing. Now there's happiness. Now, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, Lord, thank you for the miracle. Amen. The blessing. God, that your hand is upon me. Hallelujah. Amen, that miracle of Isaac being born into the family, it confirmed God's word to Abraham. It confirmed that God was true. It proved to Abraham that God was a God of his word. It showed Abraham that all he had been doing for all those years was not in vain. Amen, the miracle had finally come. God had blessed him and God had moved and worked in his life. But guess what? The mistake is still there. The mistake is still there. The mistake is still there, living in the same tent alongside the miracle. Can they coexist together? As we read the story, we find that Ishmael, man, he grew to despise Isaac. Ishmael got to the point he could not stand Isaac. He began to torment Isaac. He began to tease him, make fun of him, punish him. No doubt he felt the rejection. No doubt he felt like the family's back was turned on him. Hagar began to feel that she was being pushed out. They felt the rejection, and they began to lash back. The miracle and the mistake have a hard time living together and coexisting together. And here, the mistake will always fight your miracle. The mistake will always try to steal your miracle. The mistake will always try to rob you of the miracle. The mistake will always try to drag down the miracle. Amen. But the miracle is from God. The miracle is the promise of God. It always happens. Amen. Abraham, he found that place of renewal. He found a place of consecration. He found a place of hope. Amen. He found a place of refreshment. Amen. And after he had come to this place of renewal, God blessed him. And God had done all these wonderful things. And now the miracle is here. But the mistake. There's a mistake. Amen. But if you read the scripture. Amen. Ishmael, he is the son of doubt, while Isaac was a promise. If you look at Ishmael, he was a work of the flesh. Isaac was a work of the Spirit. Ishmael was Abraham's mistake, while Isaac was Abraham's miracle. Hagar, amen, she was an intruder into the family. While Sarah, she was the family. Hagar is a type of a worldly church. Sarah is a type of a chosen church. Abraham, amen, he was a man of doubt, but now you find Abraham as a man of faith. Amen, because God had done a work. Abraham, who was a liar in Egypt, But now he becomes a man of faith that believed in God and put his trust in the Lord. It was the miracle of God. God's miracle working in his life. But there came a day when the mistake and the miracle could not live together anymore. Same in every one of our lives. Amen. That mistake will continue to rob you of your miracle. Eventually, Abraham had to evict the mistake out of the tent. He had to send the mistake packing. They could not continue to coexist because the mistake was going to continue to rob of the miracle. The mistake was going to continue to badger the miracle and smother the miracle and harass the miracle. Every time that God would try to do something in your life, amen, the mistake's going to rise up. Every time God blesses you, the mistake's going to rise up. Every time God anoints you, the mistake is going to rise up. Anytime God tries to do something to honor you, amen, the mistake is going to rise up. They cannot continue to coexist together. Sooner or later, you've got to say adios to the mistake. A little Spanish lingo there, Sister Abe. Amen. You got to get rid of the mistake out of your life. You know what? Amen. Realize this. Amen. Mistake will continue to destroy you. That mistake will continue to haunt you unless you once and for all move it out of your life. That mistake will continue to hinder you unless you once and for all move it out of your life. That mistake is going to hinder your miracle unless you once and for all get it out of your life. The mistake of your past, hey man, the devil's going to use it against you and use it against you and use it against you until once and for all, hey man, you get it removed out of your life and you say, Lord, I know that you've forgiven me. I know it's under the blood and I'm moving it out. Hey man, it will always come up before you unless you say, enough is enough. I'm done with the mistake. Every time you try to move forward in God, if you keep that mistake hanging around, it's going to block your path. Every time that God tries to use you, it's going to hinder you. Get rid of the mistake. Amen. Every time you try to go through to the Holy Ghost, amen, the mistake is going to rise up. Amen. You've got to evict the mistake and live in the miracle. Hallelujah. Amen. Do not dwell on the mistake of your past. Amen. We've all been there. We've all got the mistake we don't want to talk about. We've all got the mistake we're ashamed of. We've all got the mistake that we don't want anybody to know about. We want to sweep it under the carpet. But the devil knows about it, and he's the one, amen, that keeps bringing it up to you. Amen, you need to remove the mistake out of your life, amen, and enjoy the miracle that God has given you. Amen, what God's done in your life is a miracle. Bringing you to where you're at right now, it is a miracle. Amen. Washing the sins away of your life, it is a miracle. The blessings that you have from God right now, they are a miracle. Amen. All the good that God has done in your life, it is the miracle of God. Amen. Why do we continue to let the mistake stand in our life and destroy it? What God has been trying to do in our life. Amen. It's time to get rid of the mistake. Time to put the mistake under the blood once and for all. Amen. Do away with it. Live in the miracle. Live in the miracle. Amen. I look at it, you know, God's blessing upon Abraham, God honoring his word and giving Isaac unto Abraham. Amen. It was a seal. It was a sign. Amen. It proved once and for all to Abraham that God had moved on, that God was going to bless him, that God was on his side, amen, that God was going to honor his family, that God was going to work in his life. I believe that's how Abraham had the faith to take Isaac up to a mountain and offer him as a sacrifice. It's because he already knew that God was a God of his word. And if God chose to take Isaac, amen, God would raise him up. And God would raise him from the dead because he was the miracle of God. Amen. When your faith grows to such a point, amen, that you have such confidence in the miracle, but it won't happen until you move the mistake out of your life. Move the mistake out. Once and for all. Amen, and live in the miracle. Amen. Amen. Stand with me if you would. Hallelujah. Tell you what. Tell you what. Serve the mistake and eviction notice tonight. Let's move him out of the tent. Move him out of your life. Okay, the mistake that keeps haunting you. Okay, let's move. You know what? How many of you go to, and you don't have to raise your hand here, I don't want that. But you go to pray, and it's when you go down to pray, bing, the mistake pops up. And it's like it's in flashing neon lights, right? And it's like the devil starts tapping on your shoulder. See the sign? See the sign? See the mistake? He starts pointing it out to you over and over. Can't do it. Man, you know what? Continually put it under your feet. Continually put it under your feet. Amen. Whenever that mistake rises up, amen, why don't you start fasting a little bit? Amen. Say, Lord, amen, you've forgiven me for that. I'm not going to worry about the mistake. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Amen. That mistake is under the blood. Amen. Start letting Satan know that he cannot use it against you. Move on. Amen. Move on. Leave the mistake behind. Mistake. It's a good time to move forward. Amen. Would you bow your head with us tonight? Hallelujah. God, so many times, Lord Jesus, God, the mistake haunts us. God, there's so many times, Lord, God, the mistake weighs heavy on our mind, on our heart. God, we can't seem to enjoy the good things that God has for us because Satan keeps bringing up the mistake. Lord, I ask you tonight, Lord, that you would help us to move the mistake out. God, that you would help us to be delivered from the mistake and start living with the miracle. Start enjoying the miracle that God has done in our life. I pray, Lord Jesus, if there's one here tonight, God, that's overwhelmed with the mistakes of their life, I pray, God, let them find a place of forgiveness. Let them find a place of consecration and dedication. God, let them move on, Lord Jesus. God, let the miracle begin to be blessed in their life. Let the miracle prosper in their life, Lord Jesus. And God, I pray, Lord, once and for all, let us defeat the mistake. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. With our heads bowed for just a moment. Like doing it this way tonight. Amen. If you're here tonight and you just can't seem to get past the mistake, that mistake's haunting you. Amen. I want you to lift your hand. Say, Brother David, I want to get rid of the mistake tonight. Amen. Would you just remember me in prayer? God bless you. Is there another that'll lift your hands? God bless you. Yes. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Amen. God's able. Amen. Let's get rid of the mistake and start living in the miracle that God has for us, all right? Amen, church, every one of you that will, would you come? Amen, would you come with us today? Amen, let's find a place at this altar tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus, thank you, Lord.